Welcome to, well, yeah, show number 63 already of the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe on RBN. Believe it or not, yes, I am your host, Stuart Howe, and this is June 4th, 2022. On this wild ride through Clown Town with all that's going on, I'm here in North Idaho, and I've got a couple of guests that we're working on getting into the green room for you right now as we speak. There is no shortage of interesting and really unfortunate to have to deal with things going on in the world, as I'm sure it's not news to anybody listening to Republic Broadcasting. You guys are pretty amazingly well aware of what's going on in the world, and I think we all owe RBN a thanks for helping with that. It's hard to find good information, and RBN is a great source. There's a lot of good content on RBN. That being said, please support him if you can. Also, great content is to be found at one of my mentor sites, a gentleman named Mark Passio, and he has a site called What on Earth is Happening. It's whatonearthishappening.com. And his second site, which is really exciting, he has like 40 content providers on onegreatworknetwork.com. It's just astounding. The quality, level, and amount of content on onegreatworknetwork.com. And then, of course, there's, you know, my go-to favorites for, you know, finding out what's going on in the world without the corporate BS spin, lies, and straight-up propaganda, 21stcenturywire.com. And there's also the Corbett Report. CorbettReport.com is outstanding. And if you're in North Idaho or just want to see what it looks like dealing with this stuff, frontline, boots on the ground, helping our communities, our state, helping bring down corrupt officials, politicians, that sort of thing, just pertinent topics of all varieties, Casey Whalen is phenomenal. His website, actually YouTube channel, is North Idaho Exposed. So if you get a chance, please go support all those great folks. Casey Whalen especially, he's boots on the ground and grassroots like I am, just trying to get the word out and be of service in this epic struggle for the freedom of mankind on planet Earth. And it really does come down to that. You know, it's like a movie plot here, that we are battling the forces of evil in a big way. And the craziest part is there's a large percentage of the population that just have no clue that this is even going down. You know, sort of under the label of none so blind as those that will not see. Not that cannot see. They could see. Most of them aren't too stupid or too ignorant, but they just don't want to acknowledge what's going on, because then they might have to get off their butts and do something. But you know, we're on another level here to a large degree at RBN, and our listeners are great, and so you're here. And so, you know, I'm just going to go to the deep end of the pool right now with a topic that one of my favorite content providers brought up, a guy named Larkin Rose. And Larkin Rose, spelled just like it sounds, Larkin and then Rose, like the flower, very amazing, free-thinking, freedom-minded individual. And he has a video out called When Should You Shoot a Cop? It's actually an article that he wrote, and there's a lot of videos about the article he wrote. When Should You Shoot a Cop? And the premise is that, you know, it's never a good idea to engage in violence against anyone, right? But when you're defending yourself and your family's lives, at some point the question arises, how out of control does a criminal government have to be, a tyrannical government, whether it was a situation that spawned the beginning of this country when we rebelled against the tyranny of the king system in England, or you know, anywhere in the world? How out of control, you know, did the Third Reich have to get before people were inspired to defend themselves against the Third Reich and Hitler and his brown shirts and his Gestapo. You know, at what point does the order-following minion of the tyrannical criminal element, you know, the police and the military, at what point do they become the criminals because they're carrying out the orders that are not lawful? This is not, there's nothing lawful about what they're doing. But if they change the law, it becomes pseudo-legal, right? I mean, everything Hitler did was legal because he changed the law. And that's what they're doing now. That's what they're doing. They're making it, you know, appear to be, they would like it to be appearing as lawful to snatch children for no good reason, through the CPS or to tell people they have to wear masks and restrict their oxygen intake or coerce people into taking injections that are causing all kinds of horrible, you know, death. Let's just put it how it is. Killing people, okay? Enlarged hearts, blood clots, I mean, you name it. So at what point do the order-following minions who are rolling this stuff out need to become aware that they are going to face consequences for this stuff? Because what we're facing here in this country may be even more egregious than what the colonists faced in 1774, or, you know, in the era when finally Americans decided enough is enough and they decided to fire on the British troops. Okay, at what point does it become right and become actually lawful under God's law, under moral law, under legitimate rights? At what point do we have the right to say no and not let somebody take our kids or bully us physically, force us into submission with tyranny? At what point does it become the right thing to do to put a bullet in somebody's forehead? That's something we need to think about. Now, I'm not advocating violence, okay? But defense of your life and defense of your family's life is a different thing than violence. It is using force to repel violence, using force to repel the violence that is being perpetrated on us by these order followers that are just following orders that come down from these straight-up satanic criminal elite, would-be, wannabe elite. They're really actually retard misfits. But these, you know, rich bastards, you know, robber barons, call them whatever you want, that are attempting to take over the world, and they believe that they are a ruling class and that we are a peasant class. And it's just not tolerable anymore. So we need to think about this because we need to do the right thing here. You know, we need to be able to stand before, you know, God and stand before our own conscience and stand before our fellows and know that we did the right thing, that we delayed any type of a physical response in defense as long as we could, and then at some point, we gathered and mustered the backbone and the sack to take care of business and repel these aggressions against us. So it's something that needs to be discussed, talked about, and you know, we need to have rules of engagement, and we need to put a line in the sand and decide we're just not going to go back into masks or let them shut down our businesses or coerce us into injections that are going to kill and maim us, sterilize our women. I mean, it's just enough is enough. So, you know, let's call it as it is. We're in defense of the freedom of humanity here, plain and simple. So there we are with that. And, you know, one of the things they're coercing us with is food. You know, the supply chain issue, they have control over that, and they are breaking everything down so that people, when they, you know, actually initiate this dark winter or, you know, all these different, you know, war games they've had, and the banking system goes down under the guise of a false flag terrorist attack on our internet or whatever they blame it on, whatever they conjure up, real or promulgated, they will want to usher in their great reset that they're talking about. This is not conspiracy theory. You know, this Ask Clown, Klaus Schwab, is talking about the Great Reset and, you know, having a new monetary system globally. And so, you know, they need to crash the old system and make things so bad. You know, they've got a retarded pedophile in the White House. That's pretty bad. They've got Bond villains at the WHO and the World Economic Forum and all these, you know, global think tank MFers. You know, they want things to get so bad that people will embrace what they want to roll out, which is straight up, you know, control grid, surveillance state, boot on your face tyranny. And, you know, it's just not okay. We just can't go along with this. You know, there's now something called the Universal Declaration of Human Rights being rolled out by the United Nations, actually by different state senators on behalf of the United Nations. And, you know, this is, it's just, it's con artistry. They want us to think it's something good. It's actually, it's removing our rights, removing accountability in government, furthering the surveillance state and the control grid, you know, by a ruling class. And they want to usher in neo-feudalism, a new feudalism with an overlord class and a peasant class. And, you know, sorry, you know, we're still armed. We have the Second Amendment. I'm exercising the First Amendment right now, so we don't have to exercise the Second Amendment. But they can't. They can't do that here. We're not going to let them. There's a lot of people that are just going to form a line in the sand and say, no, don't cross it. You've got a lot more to lose than we do. And there's a whole lot more of us than you. We've got you outnumbered, outclassed, and outgunned, and our patience is wearing thin. So, yeah, you're going to want to back off. We've got to get rid of these bankers, get rid of these crooked politicians, and get rid of the intelligence agencies. It's all corrupt. It's all evil. It's all wicked. It's all BS, and it's all got to go. So that's my opinion. I could be wrong, but really don't think so, or I wouldn't have said it. So we have one of our guests is waiting in the green room. I'm going to bring him in now. He is the gentleman who is involved in farming and ranching and producing food, which is, you know, one of the things that we actually need. There's a lot of stuff we don't need, but we do need shelter, food, you know, this kind of stuff. And, of course, they, you know, they're the powers that, you know, want to continue being the powers that be. Are exercising control over the production and distribution of food and the money supply, so our money's worth less and we're getting less food. But if we can start networking with our local ranchers and farmers, and we can, you know, remove the corporatocracy from that arena, you know, that need that we have for food. So I'd like to go ahead and bring in our guest here. Our guest is a guy who, you know, actually is boots on the ground in producing food. His name is Michael Harrington, and he is in South Utah. Michael, are you with us?
I am, yes.
Well, thanks for enduring my rant.
Heck yeah, I love it. I sit here smiling the whole time, so.
Great. Well, yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself and let folks know what you're up to and kind of how you see you know, the challenges I laid out a little bit from your perspective of being a producer of food, something very important.
Oh man, that's a great one. So a little bit about me. I will be turning 21 here in about 20 days. I'm a young buck, but I've got a lot of life under my belt already. I come from a long line of cattle ranchers. My family were, you know, sheep herders, cattle ranchers. They settled Utah, Nevada, Wyoming, really all around here in the West. And I actually work for one of the great cattle ranchers, good old Cliven Bundy and Ryan Bundy.
Excellent. Yeah, for people that don't know, I mean, most people that listen to us do know who those guys are, but just in a nutshell, you know, what was that like? What was that component of your education in the world of, you know, what's going on here?
So that's kind of the ironic part is when I was raised in a pretty big law enforcement military family, And I actually wanted to go work in the police, you know, for the police department. So I was getting set up to go to the police academy and everything. And while doing that, I got in groups with the militia here in Utah. And I actually ended up on a federal standoff against the IRS, the FBI, the local sheriff's department, and a few other agencies. And it lasted about just shy of 2 months. So when that happened, I'm a Christian by faith. I'm actually LDS. I belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And one day I moved back home after the standoff. I was having a difficult time, and I just said, God, I want to meet Ryan. I want to meet Cliven. Because, back in when their standoff happened, I was still in middle school. I'm still pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
And God was like, okay, you're going to meet him. And 3 months later, I met Ammon first, and then I met Ryan and Cliven, and that was a year ago, about a year and 5 months. I've known those guys, and I've been working for them ever since.
Nice. Yeah, go ahead and just break it down. I'm actually texting our other guest, Paul Herndon, trying to get him on. But, yeah, you know, let people know what your, you know, the elevator pitch is for how bad the federal government is looking to coerce and control producers of food, you know, farmers and ranchers. How bad is that scenario right now?
Well, it's pretty bad out here in the West. A lot of the primary issues we're facing out here in the West is the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of Interior. And the biggest problem with either of them is they're directly unconstitutional under Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, which is something Cliven stood on and Lavoie stood on, Lavoie Finicum. And if you're okay, I'd just like to go into this with you for a minute.
Yeah, please do. In fact, I'm going to disconnect for a second and call our other guest, Paul, and have him come on. But yeah, man, lay into it. Have at it. Mike's yours. The floor is yours.
Cool. So Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17 of the United States Constitution says to exercise executive legislation in all cases whatsoever such district not exceeding 10 square miles or 10 miles square, as may, by cession of a particular state and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of government of the United States, and to exercise likewise authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislator of the state in which the same shall be, for the erections of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings. So a lot of the issue that we're facing out here is the 10 square miles they're talking about is Washington, D.C. It's what we consider the capital to be under the Constitution. And the problem is the Bureau of Land Management and the Department of Interior have come in and started claiming lands. And what they're saying out here in the West is, no, you ranchers don't have the constitutional jurisdiction. We do. But the problem is with Article 1, Section 8, Clause 17, they can't own land within a state unless it's for forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, and other needful buildings, so post offices or whatever else they may need. And I'm pretty sure, last I checked, our grazing areas, our ranches, are not arsenals, dockyards, forts, magazines, or other needful buildings for the federal government to need. And they're not purchasing them by the state legislator. They're just simply claiming them up and moving us along. So one of the big important things that kind of happens is a lot of ranchers will sign what's known as the grazing, you know, permits. They'll go and they think that the Bureau of Land Management has rights to the property, to the grass, to the water.
Yeah, they don't. They're coming for it. Hey, I got a break coming up here. We're going to unpack that a little more on the other side. Right back to the White Rose Resistance Hour on RP.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Welcome back, folks. Thanks for riding out the break with us. We are back into show number 63 of the White Rose Resistance Hour with Stuart Howe. And I've got our guest Michael Harrington is with us. And I believe Paul Herndon should be on the line with us in just a minute here as well. But Michael, before we went to break, you were making some great points about the way that the federal government is, manipulating law and, going after land, and your work and your stance that you took with Cliven and Ammon Bundy, it was phenomenal. You were called to be on the front lines there, so it looks like we're going to be able to bring Paul in. Paul Herndon is a brother of Scott Herndon, who ran for and just won a seat with the Idaho State Senate. A great guy, and Paul is also a food producer here. So what do you think moving forward we can do, or what would you want people to know before we bring Paul in, are some important things that we should be aware of in trying to get to a sensible situation where we can have continued production of healthy food and distribution without the federal government, reaching in to try to manipulate and control it?
That is a great question. my first response is fire the government. Of course, that's doable and not doable at the same time. But for people, especially the cattle ranchers, because the ranchers are, in my view, the ranchers are really the problem, because they're the ones allowing the problem.
Yeah.
And so what it really comes down to for us is educating on what the Constitution says in terms of state land and the federal government's land, because that's the problem, is the federal government's taking the state land, and so they're flat out destroying our culture because people don't realize and just simply won't stand up for their constitutional rights. So education is key. Understanding what the Constitution is talking about is key.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the federal government is acting on behalf of a globalist agenda, you know, for power and control. And, you know, the states are in the crosshairs, and people need to not only know better what's in the Constitution, but be willing to just take a stand for what is right based on their conscience and a moral compass, you know, that can be known directly by our relationship with divinity. And, you know, of course, it's reflected in the rights that are outlined in the Constitution. But, it's time for people to get educated and get a backbone and start standing up for themselves, which means, you know, basically against this out-of-control government. I completely agree with you. We just really need to get people educated and get them, you know, ready to just be firm and know that they have solidarity with other people that will take a stand and not flush their milk down the gutters when the federal government tries to buy out their crops or their milk, or not kill off their chickens when the government says that there's an avian, a bird flu, which is almost always complete BS. You know, it's They don't care about our health. They don't care about anything but the furthering of their agenda, their level of control, and their level of profit at our expense. And getting people to recognize that is a real difficult thing. It's much more difficult than I thought it would be, you know, starting down this road, trying to, you know, get out the truth about 9/11, getting people to face up to that and see how evil these people are that are at the levers of control. It's not easy to get people to recognize that. So, yeah, I mean, we're up against it. And you made another great point that we need to fire the government. Absolutely, we need to. It is our right. It is our duty to throw off a tyrannical government and replace it with something that works. And I think you're right. At the end of the day, the whole system has to go. The bankers need to go. We need to regenerate this country on a higher-minded based model and atone for what we've done to the Native Americans, atone for what we've done to the Hawaiian Islanders, and start anew with a healthy money system and reinstate, you know, the type of business practices for companies and corporations that aren't predatory, that are as they were much to a larger degree. Even when I was a kid, there were businesses that had a win-win business model, and it wasn't predatory, you know, and that's the guys like you with a conscience and people like Cliven, you know, and there's a lot of people that have, a good heart, but this system has been created that is just based on coercion and exploitation. And I think you're right. That needs to end.
Right. The other problem I see is like on August 23rd, 2020, I took my oath to the Constitution, and I'm now bound by
blood. Let's talk about
that
another show. We've got another break. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but we've got a break here.
No worries.
We'll be right back.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Yeah, folks. Hey, sorry it's a little hectic here on the show, but we're juggling guests and we've got a changing break schedule that I haven't been able to get on top of. So I'm in a bit of disarray and I apologize. But before we went to break, Michael was talking about taking his oath to the Constitution. And clearly we need more people to be aware of and, to actually enact and animate allegiance to these principles. So thanks for that. Michael, hey, before we bring in Paul, who is, brother in arms, as it were, he's also a food producer. What are some final thoughts that you had on the point you were making before the break about, animating constitutionality in, our struggle to keep, food production viable?
I think one of the biggest things is I know so many ranchers out in the Western U.S. I mean, you can't throw a rock without hitting one. And I think education's the biggest. Like the point I was making just before the break, on August 23rd, 2020, when I was in the militia, I took an oath to the Constitution. And so I'm bound by blood to uphold it or give my life. And that's something that I deeply believe every American needs to look at and consider, because people need to start growing some stones.
You're right, and I appreciate that. That is a strong point. There needs to be an educated resolve in America again, and an awareness. I mean, the JFK said he was confident that our challenges could be remedied as a country by an informed and engaged citizenry. And you just spoke to that point very well. So thank you for that. Hey, can you ride shotgun as I bring Paul in? Are you okay staying on for a little bit as I bring Paul in?
Yeah, more than happy to.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. Paul, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am, sir. Hello.
Hey, man, thank you for coming on. Sorry about the confusion. I did not get the Skype thing set up, and I've just been busy with my day job and blah, blah, blah. But I appreciate your hanging in there and coming on with us. Hey, if you could, introduce yourself. You're Scott Hernan's brother who just ran for and won his seat, I believe, in Idaho here. And you have a wonderful, rich knowledge and experience with producing food and dealing with the government. So please go ahead and take the floor, introduce yourself, and let people know what's going on with you.
Okay, so you are correct. I am Scott Herndon's identical twin brother, and in fact, I was just making a milk delivery to one of our local grocery stores, and someone I don't know, who was standing right behind me as I was stocking the refrigerator, basically said, "Hey, you look like this guy," and he pulled his jacket up, and he had a Scott Herndon for Idaho Senate shirt on. So, and I said, "I sure do." That's my response.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes, I do.
I do. I've been in North Idaho for the same amount of time as Scott. I actually came here in 2004. I think roughly about a month before he did, and when I moved up here, I was coming from Colorado, and we bought a property here in around the Sandpoint area, and then we ultimately developed what is actually a lot of acreage. We do about 150 acres right now of dairy farming, and we do raw milk, which means unpasteurized, unhomogenized. We bottle it in glass bottles, and we distribute it to 12 retail stores in the three northern counties of Idaho, and I'm also a certified public accountant for small businesses in Idaho and in other states. So that's what I do up here. And obviously, as a raw milk producer, I believe in food liberty. And along with that, a couple years ago, my business, myself, that being Pleasant Meadow Creamery, the business, and then myself, we sued the Panhandle Health District over their mask mandate in North Idaho. So nice. That's sort of what I've been doing in the last multiple years.
Wow, that's excellent. So you're right in the thick of it, suing them over the mask mandate. That is great. I've been fighting that. You know, that's one little tangent, one little thing. I've been, stuck in my craw. The whole mask thing just really pisses me off. But it was a great conversation we had the other day about, the cost of everything going up for you as a producer, the cost of the glass bottles, the cost of, getting stuff to market. So even though, your profit margin may not be, on the increase, you have to raise the prices, and it's just making it really difficult. So, getting the Federal Reserve banking system reined in might be something worth looking at. But it's so important to have access to good food. Now, where I'm from, Southern California, they actually had basically a SWAT team raid on a gentleman that was distributing. He had a store set up where you had to be a member of a club to get access to raw milk. And even though it wasn't, just available to the public, he made it so that you were a member of a club. They actually raided him. They did not want people having good, raw, healthy, enzyme-rich, nutrient-rich milk. It is just absolutely insane to see how difficult they're making it to get good, organic, clean, nutritious, especially, this is a great example of unpasteurized milk. Raw milk is so good for you, and they seem to be targeting that, at least in some states, really heavily. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, what would you like people to know about how difficult they're making it on you guys that produce good healthy food?
First of all, raw milk is typically local milk. If you look at Bonner County, Idaho, where we live and operate, back about 30 or 40 years ago, there were approximately 30 grade A dairies in Bonner County, and now we're the only one. And wow. All of those dairies that existed were the size that we are. The only exception to their practice was they were doing what all dairies do now. They were having their milk picked up by a tanker truck. The tanker truck would either transport it to Sandpoint, where there was a cheese plant, what we call a grade B plant. So any of the milk that didn't make grade A could go and become cheese in Sandpoint at what is now Lighthouse Foods. It's that building downtown in Sandpoint. And then otherwise it would get trucked to Spokane, where there is now a Dairy Gold plant. So any dairies in this region, mostly on the Washington side of the border, that are still producing milk and shipping to a plant, it's all going to Dairy Gold in Spokane. And ultimately what's happened with the dairy industry is it's consolidated into what are very large producers. In Sunnyside, Washington, for example, there are multiple dairies, and it would be less than 10, that are thousands of cows in production at each facility, typically around 10,000 or 15,000 cows. In Idaho, Idaho is the number three dairy producer in the country as far as volume of milk produced, number of cows, and I think I hit the two top ones, the volume and the number of cows, and then the productivity per cow. We're number three, California, Wisconsin, and then Idaho. And all of those dairies are consolidated down in the southern part of the state. So there really are no commercial dairies in all of North Idaho, which means that there is no local source for dairy products, which, of course, then if you run into a shipping/transportation issue, you now have nothing up here. All food, if you understand the distribution network for groceries, if you go to the local natural food store or even the local large grocers like Super One in North Idaho, all of that food is distributing from the other side of the Cascades typically, so over in the Seattle, Puget Sound area. And then it's coming over on truckloads multiple times per week. And any time we have an issue with trucking, whether it's passes closed over there, et cetera, that's when you see very quickly that the shelves of grocery stores here in North Idaho and in the Spokane area start to run empty, because they run empty fast. The stocking levels in stores are only enough to stock them for maybe a day or two or three, depending on what kind of product we're talking about.
Yeah,
so this is why we happen to think it's important to have local producers. Idaho is very unrestricted when it comes to retail sales of raw milk. In fact, last summer we just deregulated through administrative decree. So most things in the state of Idaho are actually run by administrative rule versus statute. You'll have a statute, but the statute in the case of raw milk is very simple. It doesn't say a lot. And then the agency that's in charge of implementing the statute, which in this case is Idaho State Department of Agriculture, will go through a rulemaking process and create a rule that is usually much more robust than the statute. And last summer, under the governor's decree that we would basically cut a lot of wording out of admin rules in the state of Idaho in order to make it look like he was freeing things up and deregulating, that actually passed into all agencies, and Idaho State Department of Agriculture visited all of their admin rules, and as part of that, they really stripped out the raw milk rule, where they removed actually quite a bit of regulation. I would basically call it almost deregulation, where there's very few restrictions in Idaho right now, which
That's
makes
great.
Us probably the freest state in the nation currently for selling raw milk.
Well, that is good to hear. That is good to hear that, we're at least not being assaulted, with the harsher legislation making it more difficult to get the raw milk out, because that's, it's important. I think they need to do away with all of that, regulation and the taxation and all the stuff on you guys. You guys should be able to produce anything, healthy that people want. And I, you made a great point earlier about the consolidation. I think that needs to stop. That's the enemy. I mean, once they consolidate this stuff, the way that they're consolidating all the corporations, and it's like the bigger corporations are consolidated into groups that are not accountable as people. They do not have a conscience like a small producer does, like a small farmer does, and so they're easier to control, whether it's, you know, mask mandates or vaccine, you know, mandates for their employees. Whenever I deal with larger companies, they have less of a soul and they're more sold out. So the consolidation doesn't help anybody but the people that it's being consolidated into the hands of. So I'd like for people to understand that a little better and to shop locally and to shop with, you know, with neighborhood stuff. I can't believe people go to Walmart, you know, and support that. You know, I mean, is that?
It's actually shocking to me. I haven't stepped into a Walmart in a long time. And in fact, our milk, we specifically stock it at only local grocers or regional. So there is a single regional in our area that's in some cities in Montana, 7 stores in Idaho, and at least several in Washington. And so we're content to be in their stores because they're what I would call a local store. And then we're in 3 essentially independent local grocers. What we're not in is you won't find us in Safeway, Albertsons, Natural Grocers, because those are more regional or even national chains, which I tend to eschew being in stores like that.
Well, that's great. And I think that is something that, you know, hopefully we can, you know, help get people thinking along those lines. You know, I would rather do without something than go buy it from a big box store, you know, or I'll save up and you know, so I can get a better quality of something from a small store. I try to shop at, you know, local mom and pop stores, whether they're restaurants or, you know, goods and services. It's just so important. And yeah, so hopefully we can foster that a little bit more, because, you know, I'll spend the extra money and go and buy, you know, like products like yours from the local expensive store as often as I can, because it's not overpriced. It's very good value. It's very high quality, and it supports a business model that is, you know, in league with decency, right? And it's not, you know, you're not supporting Monsanto and these giant evil criminal sellout corporations. So yeah, let's keep it in that direction. It's great that you came on to help us inspire people to do that. It's just, it's worth it. I mean, the milk tastes better, the eggs are better from the local ranch. It's just a better way to do things. And there is a large percentage of the population, you know, including us, that is moving in that direction, and people were voting with their money. I mean, a lot of places are, you know, being forced to stock more non-GMO and healthy food because people are not buying the shit, the poison stuff as much anymore. So that's a good thing.
I would agree with that. You know, in your prior segment, you said basically a business should be non-predatory. And in fact, in the case of our business, we're definitely non-predatory. You said it should be a win-win, and that is that it should be a win for me and my family in that we get to do the thing that God gifted us to do, to serve other people this great product. And it's a win for the consumer because they get a milk that is truly astounding as opposed to anything else they can get on the shelf. One of the universal reactions we get from people when they taste our milk is it's literally the best milk they've ever had. I hear that all the time. It's in flavor alone it's better for them, as in it's the best they've ever had, but also nutritionally it's the best they've ever had. So it's a win for them. And then, you know, they'll notice, of course, the price is more expensive than all of the bulk milk that's on the shelf. And yet, the consumers here in North Idaho are willing to consume every drop that we're able to produce. So anytime we stock a store, it's sold out by the next time we go there. And basically what I'm communicating to people is it's a matter of value. What you're spending, you're getting value for. And in fact, if you take the price of milk, just conventional storm milk in 1980 and multiply it by the CPI inflation over that entire intervening period, you'd have all milk on the store shelf over $20 a gallon. And our milk is cheaper than that. So you get much better milk for cheaper than what all milk really should be. But the reason milk hasn't grown in price as measured by the U.S. dollar as compared to, say, a Dodge Ram has, is because it has had, it's not a free market. Our product is sold on the free market, totally unregulated. We don't partake in the federal milk marketing scheme, and so we charge what the market will bear. It's basic capitalist economics, whereas all other milk in the store is sold through federal milk marketing orders. And right now, it so happens that even the big dairies are making money. But there have been years where they lose money, even milking 10,000 cows and being as efficient as a dairy. I mean, they're essentially a factory making milk, and yet they lose money because the price of milk was below the cost of producing it. And it was like that for years.
All manipulated. Well, thank you so much for standing outside of that, you know, awful, horrible business model. And, you know, people can buy your product and buy from guys like you and Michael Harrington or other guests and know that they're not only getting a better product at a fair price, but they'll have the good conscience of knowing they're helping support a business model and other families. And it's just, I mean, the movement back in that direction is great. And I think it's there and it's growing. And thank you guys. God bless you for being part of, you know, the shift back to healthy business models and health in general. Hey, on that note, we have another guest. I'm hoping you guys can stay on if you want. I've got a woman holding now in the green room, and she is in a situation where, talk about the federal government and the coercion, they have attempted to coerce her son into becoming vaccinated in order to do a field trip. And this is just another example of overreach, you know, into your businesses and then now, you know, into the veins of the citizenry here. They want to inject everybody with this gene therapy. This, they want everybody to be a genetically modified organism is what it comes down to, and it's killing a lot of people. So Paul, if, you know, Michael, if you guys can stay on, that'd be great. If not, I get it. I want to thank you guys both for coming on. I hope everybody can support you and your great products, Pleasant Meadows Dairy. And Michael, thank you so much for what you've done along with Cliven and Ammon and you know, farming and ranching, you too. And yeah, you're welcome to stay on, you guys, or you can take off, whatever you prefer.
I think I'm going to just so off, I can hear the interview.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks, you guys. It's been a blessing having you on. And I'm going to bring on Jamie now. Jamie Morgan, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you bet. Jamie, thanks for coming on. Now, you've had a situation where your son has been coerced in order to take a field trip. If you could just, we've got about 8 minutes left here in the show. Please introduce yourself and let people know what's going on with that situation, because it's good to get the word out about this another area of this federal overreach in the medical tyranny zone.
Yes. So my name is Jamie, and I have I'm in a blended family. There's actually 8 children altogether. My biological son is 15, and I have, for different reasons, done some of the vaccinations, not all of the vaccinations, their whole childhood. And my children already have injuries reported to CDC from some of their past vaccinations, which is a concern for me. And when this problem arose, I immediately knew that this was not something I wanted to participate in. The more knowledgeable I became about it, I definitely did not want to participate in. Unfortunately, with a custody battle at hand, with my ex-husband, those things go sour and they tend to fight over everything. This became a battle in the court over a field trip that my son was been chosen to go on. And the location to where he was going to be being part of a program requires them to have this, whatever you want to call it, and the jab or whatever. And it is at a university. And I immediately was like, no, I don't want him to have it. I don't feel it's safe. I don't agree with it. And therefore, I then further looked into the program, and there's 15 other universities he can participate in and not be required to have it. So I presented that to the court because my ex-husband took me to court demanding that we allow my son to take this trip and to for the court to demand that he gets the COVID shot. And sure enough, the judge mandated it. And
wow,
I was devastated within the hearing, even though there was another option. And there's other risks that I presented medically for my son. It was still mandated during a hearing last Wednesday for him to receive the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, and I don't even like calling it a vaccine because...
It's not. Yeah, I agree with you, too, because it's not. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's horrifying, but, you know, your situation is representative of the larger agenda going on in the country and the world. They want everybody to be injected with this stuff when it doesn't, as you know, just to reiterate, it doesn't keep people from getting this thing, right? It's not an inoculation to keep people from getting this COVID-19, which is basically, you know, an influenza-like illness, you know, potentially with breathing problems and the flu symptoms and pneumonia. Like, it's an ILI. Even Fauci called it an ILI, an influenza-like illness. The death rate is very, very low, but yet they want everybody to take this injection, which is killing people and altering their DNA forever and their reproductive system problems. So it's a horrifying thing, and I think people are starting to come around and recognize this. The thing that worries me, or one of the things that worries me, is that, as we talked about earlier another time on the phone, there appears that there is an agenda, that there is some way that they are incentivizing these judges to push this mandate, even though, as you
absolutely.
Said, there was there was other ways to go, but they're pushing this. What is your thoughts on that? Why are these judges? What is it that they're doing that they're being coerced? The judges are being coerced, apparently, into demanding these things.
My opinion is there's an incentive, whether it's money, whether it's maybe they're being threatened. I'm not sure. Maybe it's even lack of education. I really don't know. The thing that I said, like, the most that bothered me was the judge even made the mention, which is also recorded at the hearing, that if this puts me in a position that I might put this boy at risk, and I will be responsible if it causes harm. And yet, he says, I'm still going to. So
wow.
What incentive is allowing this man to overstep his bounds, which is absolutely illegal in Idaho, to demand that on my son? Correct.
Well, thank you, Jamie, for coming on. The show is over. It went really fast. Thank you so much. I hope people can become
aware.
You've helped a lot of people by fleshing that out. Jamie Morgan, there she goes, everybody. Paul Herndon, thank you so much for coming on. Pleasant Meadows Dairy, please support Paul with his great products. And Michael Harrington, thank you, brother. Thank you, guys.
Looking for a sign that the universe on my hands has written you into the passion play. Skating away on the thin ice of the new day.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.